This is The Pillars of Bathurst with Dr. Robin McLaughlin and Brett Van Heekeren. The Pillars of Bathurst project is a cultural heritage memorial garden that commemorates past Bathurstians who've added something special to the story of Bathurst. These are their stories.
Hello, welcome to another edition of The Pillars of Bathurst with Brett Van Heekeren and Dr. Robin McLaughlin. Hello, Robin. Who is the focus of our Pillars story in this episode?
Oh, hello, Brett. Well, our pillar story today will be about a married couple who share a plaque. Let me introduce Dr. George and Mrs. Agnes Busby, whose adult lives were closely associated with Bathurst for much of the 19th century. When it came to the wording for a suitable epilogue for their plaque, we decided on the phrase, "the first Bathurstians," as an appropriate acknowledgement of their contributions to the story of our community. George and Agnes Busby had an unshakable confidence in the future of our Bathurst.
Busby, it's a name many of our listeners will probably know. Some may even be descendants of George and Agnes.
Quite so, Brett. Busby Street, so named in their honour, was the home of another important Bathurst couple, Prime Minister Ben Chifley and Elizabeth Chifley. As for descendants, well, George and Agnes had 10 children. And I expect there are many listening who had a Bathurst doctor by the name of Busby, but not the original Dr. Busby. Let's start our story about this remarkable couple with their separate journeys that will bring them to Bathurst, where they will meet and fall in love.
Oh, Robin, you are an incurable romantic.
It's just the history talking, Brett. Let's start with George Busby. If we visit his impressive obelisk at Bathurst Cemetery, we'll read that George was born on the 18th of December, 1797, in Haddington, followed by the initials NB, for North Britain. North Britain was an old-fashioned name for Scotland, and it was even so at the time of George Busby's death in 1870. So it's curious to see this outdated abbreviation, NB, on the grave of a man who was certainly not outdated during his nearly 5 decades of service to his adopted community. In his 20s, George Busby studied medicine in Edinburgh, then as now a major centre for medical studies. After he was qualified to practice medicine by the Royal College of Surgeons, George successfully applied for a government position as a surgeon in New South Wales. He arrived in Sydney in early 1826 and was almost immediately posted to Norfolk Island as their surgeon. There's some irony in this, as his reason for coming all the way to Australia was to be with his family in Sydney, who had arrived a year or so earlier. Now George was off to Norfolk Island, followed by Moreton Bay and Newcastle, all of which were penal settlements. In 1828, George Busby was posted to the government settlement at Bathurst, and here he will stay for the rest of his life. He was placed in charge of Bathurst Convict Hospital, which was located on the corner of present-day Howick and Bentinck Streets. It was Bathurst, and inland Australia's, first hospital, but it was not a public hospital as such. The hospital and Assistant Surgeon Busby were there to meet the medical needs of convicts, soldiers, government employees, and their families, with strict procedures to be followed. George Busby, however, had his own views on how the hospital ought to be managed, and for whom. He disapproved of road gang convicts being kept in heavy and tightly fixed leg irons while in his hospital. There is a story of his ordering the settlement's blacksmith to have the irons struck off a suffering patient. This action earned disapproval from his superiors in Sydney, but Dr. Busby was unrepentant, and he worked to have all such patients held without leg irons. Mind you, he was also known to administer extra-strong laxatives to convict patients he suspected of malingering. Dr. Busby also did not always follow the rules as to who might be admitted to his hospital. When Winterdine was mortally wounded in a tribal fight in 1829, he was brought to the hospital, where he was treated by Dr. Busby.
So what about Agnes Busby? Has she arrived in Bathurst by this time?
No, not yet. But by early 1831, Agnes is packing her trunk for the journey to Australia. Agnes Thompson, as she was then, was also born in Scotland in 1810 in Glasgow. Remember I said that George came out to join his family? Agnes's story also has a family connection. In 1831, she accompanied her brother, Thomas Thompson, a Presbyterian clergyman, who was coming to take up a ministry in Maitland, or so he thought, On arrival, he found there was no congregation awaiting him there, but by good fortune, there was a Presbyterian congregation at Bathurst, most anxious to employ his services. So Thomas and Agnes traveled on to Bathurst in early 1832, where Agnes was very soon introduced to Dr. George Busby, a leading member of Bathurst's Presbyterian congregation. And dare I say it, George was possibly one of the most eligible bachelors in the area, as Agnes was likewise a fine candidate for a young doctor seeking a wife. George and Agnes were married in Bathurst on the 11th of January, 1833, by none other than her brother, the Reverend Thomas Thompson. As a postscript, I can add, Thomas did not stay long in Bathurst. He returned to Scotland, taking the former Miss Lucy Ball, governess at Alloway Bank, with him as his bride.
Oh, not only are you an incurable romantic, Robin, you're also a bit of a gossip.
One of my favorite quotes is, "History is gossip well told." Now, Brett, how about you zip out to the kitchen and freshen our teapot, and I'll get on with the gossip. And bring some biscuits. To continue, not long after their marriage, the township of Bathurst was opened for the purchase of allotments. Although they would buy an allotment on which to build a home, George and Agnes stayed on in the surgeon's quarters in the government settlement for a few more years. We'll come back later to visit the Busby family in their new home on Howick Street. Let's return to Dr. George Busby and look at some of his contributions to the story of Bathurst. One of those contributions was as a founding director of the Bathurst Bank in 1835. With a growing local economy and the nearest bank in Sydney, Busby supported the establishment of a local bank for Bathurst. So as not to attract unwanted attention, he arranged for packages of currency being sent from Sydney to be labeled as medicine addressed to Dr. Busby. Although the bank may have been a short-lived venture, its role taken over by a larger Sydney-based bank, Dr. Busby and his colleagues had successfully demonstrated that Bathurst was an up-and-coming regional center. George Busby also played a leading role with the Bathurst School of Arts. It was during his time as president in 1861 that the School of Arts premises were built on the corner of William and Howick Streets. The Bathurst School of Arts opened the way for later educational initiatives, the most notable being the nearby Technical College, opened in 1898, better known today as the Old TAFE. Dr. Busby's presence can be found with many other civic achievements of early Bathurst, but his most important contribution lies with the development of Bathurst Hospital. The existence of our present-day public hospital can be traced directly back to 1842 and Dr. George Busby. In 1842, with the convict system ending, the colonial government decided to hand over responsibility for the convict hospital to a local management committee. It would henceforth be a community hospital. Dr. George Busby was, in effect, made redundant. 5 years earlier, in 1837, Busby had been offered promotion with a transfer to a better posting. He knocked back the offer, saying he wished to stay in Bathurst. Well, he definitely got his wish. But all turned out for the best. Dr. Busby was hired by the local committee as the manager and surgeon for the rebadged hospital, and he was also now free to practice privately. Until his death in 1870, Dr. George Busby provided the guiding hand in the evolution of Bathurst Public Hospital.
Okay, Robin, here's your tea.
and your biscuit. Did I miss anything?
Brett, I'm just about to share some of Agnes Busby's stories. I know you might just think of it as gossip, but...
Yeah, I know. History is gossip well told.
Quite so, Brett, quite so. Now, speaking as an historian, I feel Agnes Busby's lasting contribution to the story of Bathurst has to be her memoir of her first years here. She published these reminiscences late in life, only a few years before she died in 1906, age 96. Entitled Bathurst in the 30s, that's the 1830s, it is a book of only 16 pages. One wishes she might have told us more, but what is offered is invaluable for its insights into life in Bathurst at that time. There are few similar accounts available to historians. Mostly we have to rely on official records, on official matters, written by government officials. Agnes tells a different story. I'll share just one of her stories with you. It has to do with the challenges of shopping for the residents of the government settlement. At that time, all the merchants supplying the settlement's needs were across the river in Kelso. Now, we all know about online shopping today. Well, they had a version of online shopping back then, as you will see in this excerpt in Agnes's own words. There was no bridge over the river, and often in flood times, considerable difficulty was experienced in getting mails and supplies across. One occasion comes to memory, when the bread and meat contractor who lived at Kelso, being suddenly cut off by a flood, hit on a novel method of delivering his stores. A black fellow threw across the stream a boomerang to which was attached a string. This was the guide to a rope, and soon a washing tub was being pulled across, the contractor steadying it by a rope fixed to its side. This original cable punt crossed the water several times till the whole of the bread and meat was safely landed. If you like another story from Agnes Busby's memoir, you may like to visit the children's playground in the park at the bottom of William Street. Look for the painted panel depicting Bathurst's punishment stocks, where drunks were sometimes kept overnight. The little boy alongside, with buttered bread in hand, is John Busby, age 4. He was found by his anxious mother very early one morning, feeding the pinioned prisoner. "The poor fellow," John explained, "had had no breakfast." In 1838, the Busbys, now with 4 children, at long last moved into their own home in the town. Their house was on Howick Street, between George and Rankin Streets. It was a tiny brick cottage, later extended to accommodate Dr. Busby's medical practice. Alas, all was demolished in the 1970s to provide space for a car sales lot. It was believed at the time to have been the oldest Bathurst house built for a private individual. Perhaps it wasn't the oldest, but the loss of such an historic residence is a terrible loss all the same. In the last chapter of her memoir, Agnes reflected on the future of Bathurst. Agnes was optimistic, but she felt it was not for her to tell later generations of Bathurstians on how to create their community's future. In her final sentence, Agnes Busby wrote, "The wisdom, industry, integrity, and unity of her people alone can discover and develop that."
That is such good advice. Our future is what we make of it.
In 2015, Bathurst remembered George and Agnes Busby with a plaque on the Bathurst pillars. As their epilogue reminds us, they put Bathurst first.
You have been listening to one of the stories behind The Pillars of Bathurst, presented by Dr. Robin McLaughlin. This series was produced in the studios of 2MCE FM.